Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you will, let us set up 3 tents here. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Why did St. Peter want to set up 3 tents? Why did he have this idea of that? The reason being is that after what he had seen, he never wanted to leave that spot. He never wanted to leave that mountain. He wanted to see and be in the presence of that vision forever. In the Transfiguration, he was given a momentary and a small little glimpse of Christ in his divine splendor, a small little glimpse into the glory of heaven. And of course, any of us who would see something like that would never want it to end. And St. Peter was no different. He never wanted that vision to stop. So that's why he suggested that there be 3 tents set up so they could just stay there. Yet, our Lord did not have this as his will. It was just a glimpse, a taste of what was to become. And God had so much more in store for St. Peter. St. Peter had so much to do in his life. He had to be the head of the church that our Lord was going to found. And he had much more for St. Peter to sacrifice in his own life to prove his love before he would reward him with the perpetual vision of heaven. He would not receive so great a reward as this just simply because he believed. This is what the Protestants say, that, you know, we're saved by our faith alone, and we have some sort of token, little lip service of faith, and that's going to get us to heaven. No, St. Peter is the perfect model in this gospel. That's not good enough. That's not going to cut it. It's by the actions of our faith and the living of our faith and the sacrifices that we make that we save our souls. Let me tell you a little story. It was a story of a woman. And this woman was born Catholic and raised to practice her faith and practice it well. And she would, as a little girl, she would walk all over to school. She would walk back and forth to the school every single day. And as she would go, she would do little practices. She'd say little prayers for the holy souls. Or she'd stick a little pebble in her shoe. Or, you know, if it was cold, she wouldn't murmur about the cold. She'd offer it up. She just constantly loved to offer up little sacrifices for the holy souls, because that's what the nuns had taught her in school, and that's what she loved to do. She knew it was a very good thing for the practice of her faith. And in doing so, she grew in grace. She continued to grow in piety. But then as her life would have it, as time went on, certain events would happen in her life that caused her not to have any kind of hatred towards the faith at all. No, she never disliked the faith. But she began to fall away, and she didn't practice as much. She didn't pray as much. She stopped going to the sacraments. She stopped going to church. She fell away and no longer practiced as a Catholic should. Yet there was always this little part of her that always knew that she should be doing so. She still believed. She still had faith. And she still said a couple of prayers. She kept 2 prayers to herself as daily devotions that she never let up. She always prayed to St. Jude, and she always prayed to the Sacred Heart. And then no matter what, there's just 2 little prayer cards with those 2 little prayers on them, and she always said them. And all during this time, after her falling away, many trials came into her life. Many great different illnesses fell upon her, and her health was attacked time and time again, and she suffered very much. And for one, she contracted cancer, and it was unsure if she would even make it to her oldest son's wedding. They didn't know whether she would live to be there or at least be strong enough to be there. She was there, but it was very, very uncertain that she would be. She then suffered later on a stroke and lost a lot of great faculty with the right side of her body for a good portion of time, eventually gaining much of it back, but not without hard struggle in that way, and hard work at trying to build the control of those muscles back up again. And during that time, while she had a stroke and was in the hospital, they ended up doing a triple bypass surgery on her at the same time, because they found out that she was having heart troubles as well, and they did a triple bypass. Then afterwards, she left the hospital and began to be afflicted by seizures and seizure disorders. And she fought hard to struggle back from that. Then she found out she had melanoma. And then she found out that she was losing sight in one of her eyes. And then she had a heart attack. And each and every step of the way, many times, all throughout these different trials, her family would gather around her and they'd think, you know, I don't think she's going to make through this. She's not going to survive. But time and time again, she refused to stop working to get better. And she did get better, partly through willpower and obviously through God's will that it wasn't her time to die. And she got better. And she suffered cheerfully on, remembering that you shouldn't complain about your sacrifices that you were making. Even though it wasn't a very spiritualized point, and always had remained from her childhood. Then one day she had the opportunity of attending an ordination. It came to her that there was going to be an ordination nearby her house, and which was not typical, and she had the opportunity to go to it. And she went and she saw that faith that she had stopped practicing of her childhood, that she had given up on so many times, and never had totally pushed away, but had stopped living that life. And she saw that manifested in that simple ceremony of the ordination. And she made a vow right then and there that she was never going to fall away again from the faith, and she returned to the sacraments. She returned to practicing the faith of her childhood and prayed and offered her sufferings for the holy souls all over again with new vigor and new strength in that regard, remembering the things that she did as a child and embracing them all over once again. And then once again, because she was offering sufferings, God gave her more. And he gave her one last suffering of lung cancer. And again, the families gathered around her, thinking she was going to make one last recovery, or at least hoping so. But she didn't. She suffered and gave it all to God as a final offering and for the holy souls, and passed away, but strengthened by all the sacraments, and it was a reward for her selfless offering of herself. The ordination of the story is my own. The woman is my own grandmother, and the passing away was last night just before midnight. And this story that I share with you is so pertinent to our time here in Lent. God wants all of us to save our souls. He wants us all to be in heaven. He wants us all to have that beatific vision that's destined for us. However, there's only one way for us to get there. We have to prove ourselves. We have to live our faith. We have to be willing to show that we're willing to love God when it is hard, not when it's convenient. Not simply by words, not simply by some sort of token of belief, but rather when it's difficult, when it really matters, by our sufferings, by our offerings of ourselves to him, and the giving truly of ourselves. That's what embodies the season of Lent. We are here giving God sacrifices. We are here working in this season harder than we do in other seasons at the saving of our souls. And more often than not, we lose it in the sight of the fact that we see it almost as like a duty, that we sacrifice because we're supposed to. We sacrifice because the church tells us to. We sacrifice because we don't want to sin if we don't. Yet we lose sight of the bigger picture, the more important part of that, which is those sacrifices we offer are not wasted. They're not just things that we're supposed to do. They're for our souls. They're for our salvation. They're our means of growing closer to God. And any trial or sacrifice that comes our way, whether a choice of our own, like those things we give up during Lent, or things provided to us, like an illness, no matter what the sacrifice is, it's always pleasing to our Lord when we give it to Him. And it always helps us grow in grace closer to saving our souls. We are in Lent. We are here all sacrificing together, fasting, abstaining, giving up little things that we enjoy in other times of the year during our life, working on improving ourselves in the spiritual life. Don't allow that to become something that we just do or a duty of ours. Offer it joyfully, offer it willingly and lovingly to God out of the goodness of your own heart for the desire to grow in grace. Look at Lent as that time of true spiritual growth. Make sure that you're making yourself a good confession during Lent to, if you will, clear out your closet of the cobwebs, to start anew, to look at it as a time of spiritual regrowth. Just like we go from winter into spring, hopefully. We go from winter into spring, and life returns. Lent is that same season that we go from what is a day-to-day routine of our practice of our faith into a season that can be truly one of growth, of life coming back into our spiritual lives, in desire to grow closer to God each and every day. By sacrifice, by sacraments, by prayers, by truth giving of ourselves, and not out of a spirit of duty, but out of a spirit of true love of God and a willingness to give of our own comforts even a little bit. And the reward for this is the transfiguration. It's the same type of reward, but unlike St. Peter's request at that time, which was a fleeting glimpse, ours will be for eternity. God bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.